जय राधमा भव कुंज बिहारे,
The following is a lecture by His Holiness Gopala Krishna Goswami Maharaj, delivered on 23rd of June 2016 in Washington, D.C.
Gopi Jana Bala Bhavala Dhari भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हाय कृष्णा,
आज मी द स्पिरिचुअल अथॉरिटी प्रहलाद महाराज इज वन ऑफ देम। Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associate, they will get great pleasure in discussing the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj. Very often you see people, they want to discuss Rasa Leela and so on. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his close associates will discuss Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj and the pastimes very regularly. Prahlad Maharaj had a great fortune of having obtained spiritual knowledge when he was in the womb of his mother. Who was Prahlad's father? What's his identity? Demon or devotee? Great demon, huh? How many of you think that Hiranyakashipu was a powerful demon? Is there anyone who thinks that he was a great devotee?
Yes.
Actually, he was a great devotee. He was one of the two doorkeepers of the Lord, Jai and Vijay, and the Kumaras. Kumaras are the sons of Lord Brahma. So they were traveling, and the Kumaras had the facility to travel anywhere. They could even fly in the sky. And when they entered the Vaikuntha planets, they got such great pleasure that they crossed through the first six gates with no problem at all. But when they were reaching the seventh gate, they got stopped by the doorkeepers. The doorkeepers said, "Hey, you naked children, you can't go inside. This is after the Lord's residence." And the Kumaras were so angry. They said, "Getting such great pleasure and it's stopping us from realizing that pleasure. You are totally unfit to be here." And they proceeded to curse these two doorkeepers. If the doorkeepers wanted, they could have counteracted the curse. And the Lord heard the conversation that was taking place between the doorkeepers and the Kumaras, and the Lord came out to see what was happening. Just like we are sitting inside having a discussion, but if some people are shouting on the road, some of you may want to go and see what's happening. So the Kumaras could see that the Lord is very intimate with these two doorkeepers, and the Kumaras could feel
We made a mistake. These doorkeepers are very dear to the Lord. We should withdraw our curse. They were ready to withdraw the curse. But then the Lord told them, I don't want you to withdraw the curse. It was my desire that you curse them. And therefore, they went ahead with the curse. Jai Vijay had no objection to the curse. The only desire was that in every situation they may be able to remember the Lord. So they agreed to become demons for 3 births. And in every birth they were totally engrossed in remembering the Lord. So, externally, Hiranyakashipu was a great demon, but internally, he was a very great devotee of the Lord. Recently, last week, we observed Nirjala Ekadasi. Yeah? How many of you observed Nirjala Ekadasi? Oh? Very good. Okay. I was in Russia that time, and in Russia it's about 90% Nirjala Ekadasi, you know. So, anyway, we do Nirjala Ekadasi for 1 day a year, and we think it's a big achievement, isn't it? But Hiranyakashipu, he did not take a drop of water. He did not take a drop of water for 100 celestial years. How many?
100.
And you know what a celestial year is? 6 months of our earthly planet is equal to 12 hours of the heavenly planet. For 100 celestial years, he did not take a drop of water. That was his sanity. Many of you do yoga? Someone told me yesterday was a yoga day. Was it yesterday?
25.
Okay. Anyway, I'm sure many of you do yoga. But how many of you do yoga here? Okay. No, we're talking about Hatha Yoga right now. So, one of the yogic exercises is you stand on your toes with your hands raised towards the sky. So how long can anyone do that? Maximum? Half an hour? How long are you going for?
10 minutes.
Okay, let's say, let's be very generous. Let's say the boulder, you can do it for 1 hour. But Hiranyakashipu stood on his toes with his hand raised to the sky for 100 celestial years. Imagine. For 100 celestial years, he was standing on his toes, his hands raised to the sky. Is that an ordinary achievement? No. So he was able to do all this because he was also a great devotee of the Lord. But so, Hiranyakashipu is both a devotee and a demon. You know, his brother Hiranyaksha was killed by the Lord. So his sister-in-law and nephews were morose because her husband died and the father of the boy died. So Hiranyakashipu went over there and he started preaching to them. He told them, why are you lamenting? We all come together temporarily and then we all get separated. into that philosophy. Just like straws in an ocean come together, but then they get separated. And then Hiranyakashipu gave them a story. He said, there was once a king, King Suyojana. He died on a battleground. And the normal procedure is, if you die in the morning, before sunset, the body should be burnt. If you die in the evening, before sunrise, the body should be burnt. But his wives wouldn't let the body get burnt. The Kshatriya kings in those days were allowed to have more than one wife. And they were just holding on to the body, crying, hoping that their crying would make the dead husband alive. And then Yamraj, you know who Yamraj is? Who's Yamraj? So Yamraj heard their cries. So Yamraj said, let me teach them, give them some philosophy. So Yamraj disguised himself as a young boy. With a young boy, he could walk in anywhere. And Yamraj then told them a philosophy. He said, these ladies are crying, hoping that the dead husband will come back to life. And he gave an example of a bird. There was a Kulinga bird who was there with his wife and children. And a cunning hunter threw some grains by which the sea bird got attracted. And when she went to eat the grains, the hunter threw a net and had the sea hunter take and captured the net. And then the sea hunter, her husband was saying, oh, now my better half is gone. Who's going to take care of the children? And just lamenting, he also fell in the hunter's trap. Yamraj was saying, we are lamenting at the loss of a body, but we don't realize that our bodies are also going to go. And then Hiranyakashipu's sister-in-law was convinced and they allowed the body to go. The king, Suyojana's wives were convinced and they allowed the body to go for funeral. So Hiranyakashipu gave this philosophy. So the point we are trying to make is a simple point. Hiranyakashipu knew the philosophy very well. And when the need arose, he preached. So we identify Hiranyakashipu as a demon, but actually he was also internally was a great devotee of the Lord. So when Hiranyakashipu was performing his austerities, the Lord was in the womb of his mother. And the demigods headed by Indra were dragging Prahlad's mother, and then Narada Muni appeared on the scene, and Narada Muni said, what are you doing? You're dragging this innocent lady. Where are you taking this innocent lady? And the demigod said, oh, you don't know who she is? She is Srimati Hiranyakashipu. And the child in the womb of this lady is a powerful demon. But then Narada Muni assured the who showed the demigods, the child and the womb of this lady is not going to be a demon, but what's he going to be? A devotee. So then they release her. And Narada Muni, who is also one of the Mahajans, gave her spiritual shelter in his ashram and gave her instructions on the science of devotional service. And Prahlad heard this, and he was in the womb of his mother. Prahlad's father, Hiranyakashipu, could never understand who is giving my son spiritual knowledge. He had cameras surrounding him. He had guards surrounding him to make sure that no one would come and tell him anything about God. And he would chastise. Prahlad had two teachers. What were their names?
Santana Marga.
So one day, Hiranyakashipu called these two teachers and said, "Who is giving my son this spiritual knowledge? You two are not doing a good job. It looks to me that the sannyasis, sadhus, are coming in disguise. Many times we have to go in disguise. Like when our movement was underground in Soviet Union, we had to go in disguise. When you go to Muslim countries, you often have to go in disguise." So that tradition is going on even today. So these Vaishnavas are coming in disguise to brainwash my son. And Sandana Marga would say, "Sir, don't chastise us. We are Brahmanas. We are also bewildered. Who comes and preaches to your son?" But actually, he had already obtained knowledge when he was in the womb of his mother. So Prahlad Maharaj's instructions are very valuable. How many of you have read the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam? How should we read? So the seventh canto contains the instructions of Prahlad Maharaj. So this is a verse that we read in seventh canto, chapter 6, text 2. "The human form of life affords one a chance to return home back to Godhead. Therefore, every living entity, especially the human form of life, must engage in devotional service to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. This devotional service is natural because Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the most beloved, the master of the soul, and the well-wisher of all other living beings." Would you like to repeat the translation after me?
Sure.
You can go as loud as you want.
Sure.
In many countries, you know, our devotees have to whisper when they do kirtan. Because they are not supposed to do it. But in America, you don't have that problem, isn't it? Let's see how loud you can read. "The human form of life,
the human form of life,
afford one a chance,
afford one a chance,
return home, back to Godhead,
back to Godhead.
Therefore,
therefore,
every
living entity,
especially the human form of life,
especially the human form of life,
must engage
in devotional service,
to the lotus feet, of Lord Vishnu,
of Lord Vishnu.
This devotional service, is natural. Because Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the most beloved, master of the soul,
Master of the soul,
and the well-wisher. of all other living beings.
Of all other living beings.
So here's Prahlad instructing whom? Who is Prahlad instructing? His classmates. Prahlad did not miss any opportunity to preach. His teachers would take their lunch break. Prabhupada calls it tiffin break. Lunch break. And Prahlad would preach to his classmates. And he was fearless. Prabhupada was also given the name Abhay Charan. He is fearless. So Prahlad Maharaj, young boy, how old was he?
Five.
That's all. That's right. He's preaching. So what is Prahlad actually? Prahlad is preaching to his classmates, but through the medium of his classmates, he's giving a message to the ISKCON devotees in the Washington area. What's the message? What is what he said? The human, no, that's not what he said. He said the human form of life affords one a chance to return home back to God. So the first question is, how many people really want to go back to Godhead? I thought you people said that America is sweeter than back to Godhead. If you have a choice, take another birth in America, maybe in a millionaire's family, or going back to Godhead. How many of you would prefer going back to Godhead? You want to miss staying in America? My God. Some of you are yogis. By and large, people are not too interested in going back to Godhead. And even if they are, they're not ready to pay the price. They want a complimentary ticket. You know what's a complimentary ticket? Like, let's say, a head of state comes to India. He goes to give a lecture at Delhi University, for example. They'll give him an honorary PhD. There's a university in Rajasthan that gave me an honorary PhD 2 years ago. So we gave it to different people. So we may be thinking, oh, I want to go back to Godhead, but I don't want to pay any price for it. Will that happen? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in this famous verse, Sarva Dharmam Paritajya, Amtran Sarva Pabhavyo. Give up all varieties of religiousness and surrender unto me. But then the question may be, if I surrender to the Lord, what's my benefit? The Lord says, you'll come to my abode without doubt. So in the scriptures we understand there is a material world and there is a spiritual world. And the material world is a place of what? The Kalayama. You know, when people are not in, when people are out of America, they have the Hollywood image of America. Hollywood's done a great job in making people believe America, everyone has a convertible car and all the luxuries. They do also. But basically, having come to America, looking at your faces, I can see that most of you were not born in America. But you came here. Either on immigration or whatever. But having come here, coming to America is a dream for most people, isn't it? Yes. You go to any American university around the world, big lineups. But having come here, what do you see? The same messages are there that is experienced in India. Is that true or false?
True.
We have got a few doctors sitting here. Okay. There's birth, death, disease, old age. They don't spare anyone. Then you have messages caused by the mind, other entities, and material nature. Is birth a painful experience or no?
Yes, very painful.
This is nicely explained in the third canto of the Bhagavatam. No doctor can ever explain why the child in the mother's womb kicks and so on. The reason is the child is in a very uncomfortable position. You can have the best of medical research, but can that stop disease? Or can it stop disease? No. You can cure one disease, but then another disease comes up. The bottom line is, there will always be disease, which is very good for pharmaceutical manufacturers, very good for doctors, and very good for corporate hospitals, isn't it? So people don't get disease, they go out of business. And old age, does anyone like old age? Like in America and Western countries, they have a lot of anti-aging shops. You know what's an anti-aging shop? What's an anti-aging shop? They sell all the equipment to hide old age. So anti-aging shops, they have the best paraphernalia. But how long can they hide old age? Permanently? And then there's death. So the scriptures say, doesn't matter where you are, as long as you are in the material world, there'll be misery, and everything is permanent or temporary?
Temporary.
You make a nice house. Is this house, Ramanan, permanent or temporary?
Permanent.
Nothing is permanent. So, Krishna says, the material world is full of misery. The problem is, we may raise our hands, but we don't really believe it deep in our heart. We seem to think that, yes, it's a place of misery, but I have a special deal. I'm like, misery doesn't strike me. So Krishna says, come back to me. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying, human life offers you a rare opportunity to go back to Godhead. Why? Because it's not that, it's not that every birth you get is going to be a human birth. Many people don't know this. Our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, was once giving a lecture at a very prominent American university, and he said, in this great university, is there any department that tells you what happens after death? And there was complete silence. So, we've gone through many births insects, water, trees, animals, and ultimately get a human form of life. And the human form of life means you inquire, is there any distinction between human life and animal life? How many of you feel there is no difference? Or there is? Do you have the same facility in animal life as in human life? No. Human life gives you far more facility. A dog crosses the street in a red light, no one's going to give him a ticket. You cross the street in a red light, you can get a ticket, isn't it? So we can see that human life is a life of responsibility. So what Prahlad Maharaj is saying, now that you've got this human form of life, please investigate, how can you free yourself from the miseries of life? How can you prepare to go back to Godhead? And if you don't do this, it's considered to be unfortunate. There was a great Vaishnava poet, he said, Hari Hari Vipra Janma Grahinu Manushya Janma Paya Radha Krishna Bhajya Jnaniya Shuniya Pisha Kainu. You know what does Pisha mean? Poison. Having got this rare human birth and not having worshipped Radha and Krishna, I have simply been drinking poison uselessly. So, we are so fond of drinking poison. But a saintly person comes and says, Sir, here is some nectar, please don't drink poison. And we say, No, then we drink poison. But a saintly person endeavors, in spite of opposition, united people for the goal of life. But Prahlad Maharaj is saying, human body means a rare privilege. Sometimes in our day-to-day lives we get opportunities to take advantage of rare privilege. So we must understand the human body is a rare privilege. There's no guarantee that everybody's going to be human. Unfortunately, people don't have this knowledge. An important theme of the Vedic knowledge is human life is very rare. There is soul in the body. And what is the nature of the soul? What is the nature of the soul? It takes birth and dies?
No. Eternal, blissful.
It is eternal. That means when what is pronounced is the body dying, the soul doesn't die. This point that the soul is eternal, the body is perishable, is also supported in the Bible, for example. In the Bible it is said, what's that? What shall I do if I gain the whole world except for the loss of eternal soul? So the soul is eternal. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying, you've got this rare human birth. Inquire, how can you free yourself from the miseries of life? And take interest in the path that takes you back to Godhead. This Krishna conscious movement is presenting the ancient Vedic message in its pure form without any adulteration. And this pure message is meant for entire humanity. Prabhupada established ISKCON, as some of you may know. When?
1966.
What date? July 13, 1966. And today there are more than 600 branches all over the world. And Prabhupada gave us this pure message for the benefit of humanity. Prabhupada showed to the world that the Vedic message is not sectarian, it's not just for people of one country or one community, but it is for the entire humanity. Today Prabhupada's books have been translated in more than 75 languages of the world. The Srimad Bhagavatam we are reading to you. We are reading to you from the English copy. This is available in every major language of the world. The people all over the world are reading it. Why? Because it's offering us a complete solution. So, now the Munis, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, take interest in going back to Godhead. Then, what does he say, Prahlad Maharaj? Because the human form bodies are very rare, every human being must take interest in emotional service. Unfortunately, this is not true. Is that right? If we have a program with a movie star or a sports star there, so many people may flock. But if we have a program with a spiritual team, then what's the result? What's the result? Very few show up. That is unfortunate. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying, engage in devotional service. The devotional service means we engage our body, mind and senses in service to the Lord. Just like we have this tongue, for example. We can use this tongue just for material talk, or we can use this tongue to vibrate the glories of the Lord. So what do we recommend? Chant Hare Krishna. Why? Because chanting Hare Krishna is the conclusion of the Shastra. Prabhupada never gave anything that was not fully based on the scriptures. If we follow the pure message of Godhead and practice it, then you can find real satisfaction. Are people satisfied in material life? Is everybody in America, for example, do the survey show that 100% of the people are satisfied? Huh? No. The same misery everywhere. You have terrorism in India, you have terrorism here. You have Buddha Deedle over there, same thing here. Everything's pretty much the same. So, one of the intelligence should take some interest in understanding and questioning, why am I suffering all this? Is there a way out? Or there's no way out? Just like if something happens to your body, you get disease, you only go to the doctor to find out what's the cause of the disease. So similarly, we should also be interested in understanding, why am I going through this suffering? Mental agony and physical torture. Why are these miseries striking me? Is there a way out of this? And there is a way, which is presented in the scriptures. Taking the spirituality does not in any way mean that you have to abandon the material responsibilities, etc. What did Krishna tell Arjuna? Krishna told Arjuna, with your mind intelligence dedicated to me, fight and do your duty, isn't it? Isn't that what Krishna said? Did Krishna say, Arjuna, now you just go and relax. So he said, do your duty. So taking the Krishna consciousness doesn't mean we abandon our duties and so on. So all it means is, in addition, we engage in devotional activity to purify ourselves. The process of devotional service is such, by engaging in these activities, you get purified. So engage in devotional service. Now what does Prahlad say for that? This devotional service is natural, because Lord Vishnu is the most beloved, the master of the soul, and the well-wisher of other living beings. What Prahlad is saying is the Lord is our, what is he? Well-wisher. If some of you know, Prabhupada, when he would sign a letter, he would say at the bottom, your ever well-wisher, your ever well-wisher. In this verse it is said, the Lord Vishnu is your well-wisher. What did this mean? This means that what the Lord is saying is for our benefit. When Krishna says, engage in devotional service, think of me, chant my names, it's for our benefit, not for his benefit. But unfortunately, we're so obstinate and so attached to what we want to do, we don't understand. Just like if a man is intoxicated, then even if you talk some sense to him, he won't understand, isn't it? So similarly, we're so deeply intoxicated with unlimited material desires that we can't understand. Therefore it is said, we need to be in sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha, or spiritual association, is most important for spiritual life. And Prabhupada created this International Society of Krishna Consciousness, which affords all of us a chance to make spiritual progress. So Krishna is your well-wisher. The Lord knows what is best for him, what is best for us. Just like a small child. A small child usually turns to the father and mother. Can I do this? Can I do this? Of course, when they grow up, they say, you don't need to tell me anything. At least when they're young, they recognize the reality. So, we need to know what's the Lord's instruction. And we need to recognize the Lord is our well-wisher. He wants us to do what is right. And if we accept the Lord is our well-wisher, then Krishna consciousness becomes easier. But if we think, no, I know what's best for me, I'm not an illiterate, I don't need to know what Krishna says. But we need to recognize, can I tell you frankly what we need to recognize? No one would be offended? No reply. I mean, you'll be offended. I'm scared of speaking now. So we need to recognize, I am fool number one. Oh, what did I say?
I am fool number one.
And I need direction.
And I need direction.
No, you don't have to speak. And I need direction from where? From a perfect authority. No one's more perfect than Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva is the literary incarnation of the Lord. Vyasadeva gave us so many wonderful books, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. And these books gave us guideline what we should do. One thing is, in this Krishna consciousness movement, everything that you see is based on the Shastra. Prabhupada never said one thing. I think it should be like this. Prabhupada always said, Krishna says, and Krishna is a well-wisher. So, what Prahlad Maharaj is saying, the Lord is your best friend. He's our best friend in the material world. Is anyone our best friend? Anyone our best friend in the material world? In the material world, we have what we call in English fair weather friends. You know what's a fair weather friend?
Yes.
The other day I was doing my walk in Nizhny Novgorod in Russia, and there's a bridge that we cross through. And the bridge was full of locks. They were like, you know, there was a long bridge, and on each pole in the bridge, there were like 50, 30, 40 locks. So, even though I've been in Russia for more than 40 years, I had never seen a bridge with so many locks. So I asked the devotee, what do these locks signify? He said, every time they get married, they come and they will put a lock here to show that just like a lock is locked up, the husband and wife will remain together. But the ground reality is, within years, the lock gets unlocked. Therefore, the divorce rate is 70%. So the point is, the point I'm trying to make is, in the material world, doesn't matter what you do, you're never going to win. Like right now, everyone's, the whole mood of the country is towards the election. Am I right? Election 2016, who's going to win, Trump or Clinton? It's more or less a foregone conclusion. I mean, look, all indications appear who's going to win. But even if that person does win, is anything going to change? Are people going to stop dying? Are they going to stop getting old, disease? Nothing is going to be, as they say in English language, business as usual. Business as usual means growth of birthday diseases, old age, etc. So, devotees, we are happy to be here and we are happy to speak to all of you. But our message is, please don't waste this valuable human life. If you want real happiness, change your Krishna consciousness. Krishna is not saying, give up a job, give up your business, give up your profession. No. All that Krishna is saying, yad karoshi yad ashnasi, yad devasi vidasi yad, yad tapasvati kondhya, yad Krishna marpana. All that we do, we are all doing something or the other. A job, a business, or housewife. Krishna said, do it for me. All that you eat, do you devotees eat? Or are you like Dhruva Maharaj? So we eat. Krishna says, eat Krishna Prasadam. All that you give away, charity, said, do it for me. So Krishna consciousness, as you know, is a very practical philosophy. It's not something theoretical. And Prabhupada has shown this can be practiced in every community. Today, there's not a single community in the world where you won't find a Hare Krishna devotees. If there are no temples, there'll be devotees. But the devotees practicing Krishna consciousness in every corner of the globe. And why are they practicing? Because it's practical. It's yielding results. is showing some experiences. So this is our request. I know most of you sitting in this audience come from a cultural background. We have heard of Krishna from your birth. You have heard of the Holy Name from your birth. Where you heard of the Bhagavad Gita from your childhood. So please take the Krishna consciousness, take interest in Krishna consciousness, chant. We know the importance of chanting, but unfortunately, we have so many attractions that we don't find time to chant. But if we are determined, if you chant, then not only will your heart get cleansed, but you will also experience real happiness. And, you know, the U.S. currency notes, they have that statement, in God we trust. You still have it?
Yes, yes.
Did it change it?
Not yet.
So, I was recently preparing for an ethics lecture in a country outside India. And so when I was preparing, someone gave me a nice picture. Said, it had a $100 bill. And it said, in God we trust. And so that it said, in greed we trust. You understand? So, people are greedy. Is it true or false? They want more. It's not going to give you happiness. Actually, in America there was a survey done about 10 years ago, and people were asked a question. What do they do? They do one in life that money cannot buy. The money can want you to buy everything, isn't it? If you have more money, you can find your campaign better also for identical campaign better. So what is it that you want in life that money can't buy? And there were, the number one answer was, who knows, peace of mind. You're not going to get peace of mind even if you capture the White House. If you capture Krishna, then you'll get real peace of mind. So we want to request all of you, please chant regularly, take advantage of devotee association, read the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam. All of you are educated, and these days, thanks to technology, you can carry Prabhupada books in your pocket. How many of you are connected to the IT field? Okay. I mean, almost majority of the Indians in America are connected with the IT field. So, if you have a smartphone, you can put all the Prabhupada books in your smartphone. And you can read them whenever you get a chance. I know some devotees, they just read the Bhagavatam in their office, put it on the computer, and they read these books. Understand the philosophy. Eat Krishna Prasad and perfect your life. Don't waste this valuable human life, because there's no guarantee when you're going to get it again. And then you may say, well, what's the proof? Show me the proof. What's the proof that is birth after death? Is there birth after death?
Yes.
Who said yes? Oh, okay. What's the proof?
Scriptures.
Scriptures, yeah. The proof is the same as the scriptures. So please take the Krishna consciousness and be happy. Prabhupada long ago, in the 40s, Prabhupada started publishing Back to God and Magni, 1944. He wrote an article in 1950 called Sorry No Time. very nice title. Prabhupada in an article said, I was talking to a very prominent member of the Planning Commission in India, requesting him to take interest in Krishna consciousness. And the man said, Swamiji, you don't know how busy I am. Sorry, I have no time. And next day, he had a heart attack, and he died. The Prabhupada said, sorry, no time. We say no time, the end can come at any time, isn't it? Or in America, they have insurance for everything. They insure that death won't come without your permission. And then insurance company offer that policy. Death will only come after you say yes. So please be intelligent. We're not giving you anything impractical. Try, stay in devotee association. You have a beautiful temple in Patavik. Go there regularly. Take, especially on the Sundays, take part in the spiritual programs and perfect your life. Hare Krishna. Okay. Any questions? Want to take questions from the local? Yes. Feel free to ask any question.
Yeah.
And if you disagree with what we said.
No, I don't.
No. I'm just making a general statement. Tell us, we won't mind it.
So, I do a lot of devotional activities, and I understand that doing devotional activities can take us to God at all. But I always get conflict between devotional activity and charitable activities. For example, if I give devotional activity, it's under science. But when I do chanting, what happens?
Okay, I understand your question.
Why haven't the God get pleased by that?
Okay. Understand your question. Basically your question is, what's the difference between devotional activity and charitable activity? Let's say a man is hungry and I arrange to give him food. Okay. I'm satisfied his hunger. But if I haven't told him, let's say, like a lot of rich people in India, they open philanthropic hospitals, free medical and so on. Let's say I have somebody cured of a fatal disease, I paid for his medical. But then when that man recovers and misuses his human body to see pornography, take drugs, so on. I'm just explaining. Have I helped him or endangered him? Actually, I've endangered him more. Because how does karma work? You can go on doing negative and positive actions, but when you do negative actions, you're just increasing your debts and taking a bank loan. So, let's say, you give a hungry man food. If you want to give a hungry man food, give him Krishna prasad. So if he eats prasad, he will get purified. But don't give him just ordinary mundane food. If you do devotional activities, then you teach people how to get purified. And then if they get purified, they won't do nonsense activities. The highest charity you can do is give people knowledge about God. This is all a charity. We are registered as a charitable trust. We're giving people knowledge so that they don't repeat sinful activity. The real challenge ahead of us is how to give up sinful activity. And if you're chanting the holy name, That will give you the strength. Give it up. You chant also.
Yeah.
How many rounds? Huh?
2 rounds.
2. Since how long are you chanting 2 rounds?
3 years.
3 years. You should go move a little faster.
I chanted 64 rounds on Ekadashi.
Okay. But then you should think that every day is Ekadashi. Then you'll do, and we'll give you a discount. Don't do 64 rounds, just do 16. Okay. Any more questions? Of course, I hear questions from the local. No questions. Yeah.
So earlier you were explaining that Hiranyakashipu, he was explaining the philosophy of difference between body and soul. But as soon as his wife was convinced, then he went back to his demonic nature. And we also theoretically understand the philosophy, but our activities do not reflect that. What do we do?
Well, we may have the knowledge, but we don't practice it, that's basically a perfect. If we practice it, we are the gainer. If we don't practice it, we are the loser. Just like any Hare Krishna devotee is always requesting you to please chant, ultimately for your benefit. And this philosophy should be applied in practice, not just theoretical. And, for example, chanting Hare Krishna. What's difficult in chanting Hare Krishna? Nothing so difficult. And it's so easy. For reading the books. If we endeavor, we can apply it, but if we don't endeavor, nothing will happen. Everything comes if you make an effort. In English there is famous phrase, God helps those who help themselves. You heard that before? Who does God help? Krishna didn't tell Arjuna, you relax in the chariot and I'm going to shoot all the arrows. Krishna said, no! You're a kshatriya, you shoot the arrows. But dedicate your mind and intelligence to me. So the point is, this philosophy has to be applied in our day-to-day lives. And if you are in Sadhu Sangha, that will be helpful. Any questions from the ladies? Yes? Is we should take advantage of practicing spiritual life from a young age. Lal Maharaj says, started from the age of 5. Because as we get older, the body will become incapacitated, limited, and not so productive. Therefore, Krishna says, send it to me now. But when we have the body young, we want to experience what we term so-called material enjoyment. So Krishna says, don't waste your valuable life. That's exactly what we are saying. That's exactly what Prahlad Maharaj is saying. Now when you're young, like 10, 20, 30 years ago, you started doing devotional service. When you get old, the body is going to get weak, the eyes are going to get weak, your fingers are going to get weak, and rendering service is going to become more difficult. You're right. Well, thank you. These days you have the internet. So you can have darshan on internet. You can hear classes on internet. Isn't it? I'm sure all of you have access to internet. All of you have access to computers and TV screens. So watch everything at home. Basically, you also go to the temple. But if you are in a position that you can't go to the temple, then take advantage of internet. You can have darshan of your deities in Washington, Radha Madhav in Mayapur, Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan. You can have access to at least 20 Bhagavatam classes from around the world. Isn't it? So now there's no excuse for not practicing this knowledge. More questions? Yes.
In God we trust, in greed we don't trust. But then when we stay in the joint family, what steps we should always take, like that we should be free from that greed. And at the same time, be an example to the family members also that they don't indulge in greed. And at the same time, we are also not affected by that. Like, we don't become a fault-finding person every time. So how do we, what steps we should take? Like, that every time we are free from greed.
In order to be, there are two types of greed. One is material greed. The other is spiritual greed. Material greed means, I want more, more, more. I don't care what happens to the rest of the world, my bank balance must go up. Okay, that's material greed. Then there's spiritual greed. I want everyone to become Krishna conscious. I want to endeavor to give them this philosophy. So by and large, people today are affected by material greed. But greed, lust, anger. Krishna says there are three paths that take you to hell. Lust, anger and greed. So to overcome all this, we need spiritual wisdom. Spiritual wisdom comes from chanting, associating, reading, rendering practical service. That's what we should do. And then when you become a good example, then you can convince others. More questions? Yes, you fall in a local category.
Maharaj, you have to excuse me, but I never understood the Bhagavan Vishnu, who is always attached to the Lakshmi, but still, whenever we hear, is always detached to the Lakshmi. What particular power which have Bhagavan Vishnu, though he is attached to the Lakshmi, still he is detached?
The Lakshmi is a devotee of the Lord. That's like Radharani, she is a devotee. Their attachment is not material. is purely spiritual. There's nothing material in that relationship. It's purely spiritual.
So that's reason in material realization what happens. We are attached definitely to the material, but we want to be attached because our spiritual activity hindered because of the material life.
Anyway,
but in the material life, you can't have spiritual life.
We are not saying don't have attachments. The first step we are saying, please chant, please read, please associate with devotees, go to the temple. If we do these things, then automatically material attachments will get replaced with spiritual attachments. You follow? But the problem is, we don't even want to chant. In the early days of our movement, there was a cartoon in the New York Times. It showed a Hare Krishna devotee with a man wearing a suit. The devotee was saying, chant, chant, chant. And the response was, can. So we are in a situation of that type today. Chant, chant, chant! And people say, can. Am I right?
Yes.
How many rounds do you chant, sir?
13.
So you're almost there. Just a little. Just a little behind. Wait, you chant? How many rounds? 8 rounds in 20 years is not bad. Behind you.
I chant 8 rounds.
It's not so difficult if there are 16. It looks difficult, but it's not. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, those who worship me with devotion, I preserve what they have and I make up what they lack. So when Krishna sees, here is someone who wants to do japa, and Krishna will in the heart will give you the strength to do it. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for listening to His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. For more information, please visit zkgoswami.com.